everybody back for Memorial Day, and that's what, if it was 85 degrees and really nice out, then we wouldn't have anybody yet as back. No. Only the devoted. But we got the good ones. So here we go. We're going into week number four. After this particular week, we will be finishing up a month. And we'll come back and we'll give stats on that month, because really we're looking to see how our volumes are. The way I do the stats is a little different than it's done down in Texas, because we used to do this in the Pathfinder group, and I think it's important to do, because I need to know before we get on the next call what your group, or what your total group, personal group volume was. Then I'm going to take an average across your team, and we're going to publish the average. So we'll take the two or the three people within your group, add them all up, divide by two or three. We get an average number, and we're going to see the teams that are producing the volumes for the month. And that way, it keeps us on focus for what they actually pay you for.
Good.
Again, this is chapter four, week number, officially week number four of the Pathfinder 1 system. Those of you who are listening in the gallery, I hope that you are up and ready to go. You have your ignition sequence guide with you. You also have your Pathfinder 1 workbook. We'll be working from both of those and going into detail with our groups. We do a roll call every week, and on this roll call, we will be checking to see how people's performance was. I think I should take a moment here, because we want to take care to make sure we meet the minimum requirements of getting our new people met out there in the field. But there's always questions as to what is that? What are the requirements? Some people will ask, if I have somebody in my group that signed up, and somebody signed up under them, and I've done the work with the group, a person underneath them, you do a presentation, does that count? Officially, I call that a happy face. We put an extra happy face on your paper, because we don't want you to continually think that this is all about bringing in your own personal people. If someone is going to go, we want you to assist and help the process of geometric progression and growth. If you only do your own people and not those that are developing in depth underneath you, then you never leverage your time, and it's just like having another job. So I will count those, and I encourage you to do them. The second thing that comes up oftentimes when we start asking for our completes and incompletes, people just flat freak out trying to get to a point where they can say complete. Well, that's kind of good, because they're challenging themselves, but it's in a way, when people get too crazy about it, they're in a mode that you've been taught to do. And we have to teach it out of you. In the entrepreneurial mindset, we need to try and then adjust, and then try and adjust and keep at it, almost as if you were an inventor. If you were to put five different things together and it didn't quite do what you were looking for, then you have to go back and redo some things. If you get upset by it, is what our normal work mode is. If it doesn't work properly, or if it doesn't work the first time, you can get yourself chewed out. And people get so freaked out by that that they think it's rejection. Well, that is, if you all can remember some of the statistics, 96% of the population is either an employee or self-employed. They're doing all the work. They're dragging that train engine up the mountain over their shoulder. 4% of the population, according to Robert Kiyosaki, are in the big business or investor side. He makes four quadrants with employee in one upper left, is like a tic-tac-toe, and employees in the upper left. Below that is S for self-employed. And those people on that left side of the center line are the ones who are spending time for dollars. On the right side, with the B and the E, or B and the I, B is big business or networking, and then below that is the investor. If we're going to learn to be on the I side, you've been trained, well, like 96% of the population, to be on the other side, and if you don't accomplish something that you set out to accomplish for the week, somehow that's bad, and you should do self, some sort of self-abasement in public. So, with all that being said, as we go through our roll call, we're simply going to take a check on how effective our programs are. That means that if we're saying complete, and then you, which means you have your five plus, we're going to sit down and share some stories and go through some things about how that works and why that's really cool. If you come up incomplete, we simply want to know incomplete. There is part that needs to be said. We're done. So, here we go. Let's start with Stephen. How did it go for you this week, complete or incomplete? Got a short. Okay, you might still be out in the woods. Shu, how about you?
Incomplete.
Brad? Brad's out with family, too. Steve Crowfoot?
Incomplete.
Okay, Melly and Melanie and Dean?
Incomplete.
Okay, Becky?
Incomplete.
And Debbie?
Complete.
Yep. Woo! Okay, then you now are the consultant under the lights.
Okay.
What were some of the things that you did to get those five?
Oh, man. Let's see. I stalked somebody at Meineke. Really, I did stalk them.
Okay, but because you have such a nice demeanor, you got away with it.
I got away with it. It was an older couple, and they looked healthy, and I knew they were doing something to do that, so I kind of went forward from there. Let's see, talked to them a bit, handed, got a CD in their hand, did a short presentation, and got a partial commitment from them to at least consider coming to a wellness preview. I think I'm going to call them again tomorrow and see what they're up to. Let's see. I revisited two people that I had talked to in the past, and
you made them mad.
No, I didn't make them mad.
Oh, no, I thought that's where they were just zapping you or something.
Oh, no. Let's see. I need my list here. I delivered some information, did a presentation to a gal that does hand therapy. Some folks that want to buy a bed as a result of my contact. I have a business builder that I contacted at Best Buy. I think that's it.
How did you make the contact at Best Buy?
He was standing at the counter checking me out when I bought my new iPod.
Awesome. Okay, now let's go through, and was there anybody that called in after the roll call that's on the squad here?
That'd be me, Brad.
Okay, Brad, yeah, complete or incomplete?
Complete.
Awesome, okay. Since you were one of the ones that got complete, what were some of the ways that you approached people?
It had been people that I had on my list and friends, and one was casual conversation. We talked. One teacher that I work with, his wife was interested in. Actually, it was when I came back last Saturday from the the preview that we had quarterly up there, and she was interested in some of the stuff that was laying around the house because they had come over, and so I talked to her about body balance and gave her some of that. And then the other guy that I had talked with in Iowa, we couldn't get the three-way that you and I were going to do. And so he said before, just mail me some stuff. So I mailed him some stuff, and he called me back today, and then I have to call him back tonight. So he just wanted to go through some of that material. And then another one was my karate instructor. who has a great respect and for the Japanese culture, so him and his wife.
Great. So you just opened a conversation and there it was.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we have to get, we have to cross the starting line by being able to create interest in people. And that's called a catchphrase in many cases. And here's the methodology. When you go out into your community, there are several different ways in which we recruit people. One is to put people down on a piece of paper and purposely talk to them for some reason. And it is best to get with your upline or your crossline or your team members here and talk about what you're going to say to those people before you go in. I think that across my experience as a Nikan distributor and Nikan Diamond, one of the biggest things I hear is that people are afraid of rejection. And we have to look at this completely differently. It takes a while to change, or it takes a massive kind of gut check to change to the point where we begin to realize that we are really simply offering a gift. And there is a sense when offering a gift that when you perceive that someone's offering a gift, it's very difficult to turn it down. Wouldn't you all agree?
Yeah.
Yes.
What is one gift, Becky, that someone has offered you that was particularly special?
Special. You know, the last thing that anybody gave me, it was lunch, believe it or not, and it was just unexpected, and that alone made it special.
And you knew there was just a certain way they presented it to you, right? That you knew
yeah.
it was a gift for a special reason.
Yeah. And you know, I don't necessarily know what the reason was, and I didn't ask them what the reason was, but you could tell it was genuine just from the invitation. So I accept it.
Very good. Let's ask that Melanie and Dean. Do you have one or both of you, do you have one that comes to mind? In your life experience. So we'll start with Melanie. Are you on the line?
Yeah.
Okay. What's something that was a particularly special gift that someone has offered you?
I am drawing a blank.
Okay, Dean, how about you? We'll let Melanie come back, try again in a minute.
You know, I don't know, Christmas time, I can just say that there's always, you know, gifts that are given out that you, you know, that you'd like to receive. I mean, anything, you know, in particular, I can't really point out, there's been different things through life, but,
Do you think you could recognize when somebody sincerely just wanted to give you something because they appreciated who you were and they thought that it had value to you and was just offering no strings attached? Do you think you could recognize that?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I hope that both of you have somebody soon that offers a gift to you that you will be remembering. Brad, how about you? What's one that comes to your mind?
You know, I think as far as, like, a gift that I got that meant a lot was a person that went through a lot of trouble, but they got Bo Schimbleckler. I'm a huge Michigan fan, and so they got Bo Schimbleckler, the old head coach of Michigan, they got his signature on a hat through a golf charity that he runs that his wife passed away from cancer. So that was a pretty special gift.
Oh, awesome. Steve?
My sister bought dinner for me Saturday night. It was totally unexpected.
Very good.
And it was appreciative.
How about you, Debbie? Oh, no, go ahead, Steve. What's that?
Well, I was going to say the best gift that I probably ever received was the gift of Nican, because I have my life back. And I still have my wife alive. And if it wouldn't have been for Nican, those two things wouldn't have happened. So I consider it a great gift.
Well, it wouldn't be a hard stretch for you to imagine that Nican is a gift then, right?
Oh, no, not at all.
Debbie, how about you?
You know, Jerry, I think one of the greatest gifts that I get and I continue to receive on a regular basis is the gift of friendship. And my life is fuller and better as a result of that.
Whoa, that is awesome. Melanie, did any come to mind?
I haven't been thinking. I've been listening to everybody.
Well, I'm going to tell you one of my favorites that I ever received. I have... I'm a little partial to the four young people that live in our house, and my little girl, my youngest of two girls, and I have two boys and two girls, but my youngest of two girls, she was the sweetest little thing from the very day she was born. When she tended about 2 years old, she still had a very special blanket, and the blanket had some lace on the edge of it. And on one special corner of that blanket, she would just move her fingers and find it in the dark. And then whenever she wanted to just calm herself, she would rub that lace up against her cheek. It was always the one special corner. And then she could calm herself, fall asleep, or do whatever. And one day, I was really kind of working too hard and stressing and going crazy. And she ran to her room, got her blankie, came out on that corner and just rubbed it against my teeth. And have you all noticed that these are the most meaningful gifts? Has it been interesting in our conversation about the gifts that we've received?
Yeah.
Has anyone here received the gift of an inheritance?
Yes. Yes.
And did you notice that wasn't listed as the number one gift?
Yes.
So one of the things that we are understanding as we go into our Nican career, as you begin to start to go out and offer, just opened up a box that really I've never opened up before on these calls, but I think it's a very, very interesting and poignant place for us to go. If you were to approach somebody with Nican as a gift, can you see how you get into a totally different space in your head?
Yeah.
And, yeah. What was that?
Just, yeah.
I thought I heard someone else pop in there. And as we look at the parts of Nican that really have given the greatest value to you, I think Debbie is the one that said it had to do with relationships.
Yes, it was.
Wouldn't it be interesting if the greatest gift that you are providing when you bring up Nican is offering to be a part of a relationship with you? Now, can y'all see where if you say much more than that, you may be saying too much? That if your intent is just to be completely and totally honoring of someone, tell them honestly that you are offering this gift with no strings attached. They can choose it if they like, and they don't have to if they don't like. But if you really can imagine what this gift is and what it looks like and how it's oriented and how it's presented, can you all see how the question of rejection goes away completely?
Yeah.
So let's paraphrase this and see where we can come up with maybe some thinking, because you're all going to be leaders of your own Pathfinder teams. You're all going to be leaders of your own NECAN downlines in the future. And as leaders of your NECAN downline, you're going to come across, what did I say, the number one person, number one thing that people worry about in NECAN is?
Recognition.
They worry about recognition, rejection.
Rejection. They want recognition.
They want recognition, but they worry about rejection. So where does that come from? The rejection.
Fear?
From the bad jelly donut. That's true. You're certainly reading ahead. Got bad jelly.
Jelly.
Yep, he's new jelly. Have you ever noticed that? Does anybody here ever watch little kids between 6 and 9 months take swimming lessons?
No.
Yes.
Have you ever seen any pictures where they just chuck the kids in the pool and they go underwater and they swim around?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they have no reason for understanding why they should hold their breath, but they do?
Yep.
Yeah.
And not one of those kids is fearful. Where do they get the fear from?
Environment.
Exactly. And here's another question. How many, if all of you on the call had a 2 or a 3-year-old and you brought them all together, how many of them would instantly hate each other?
I don't think any of them would.
And if you had a bunch of 5-year-olds and got them together, how many wouldn't sing?
None of them.
But if you got 5 adults together, how many of them wouldn't sing?
All of them.
All of them.
Back. Where do they learn that?
Environment.
So.
It could have happened in the past.
So can you see that we can create the negatives in our world very easily?
Yeah.
And the conditioning and the ways that we think. Someone once said that. Most of the time when you think you're making a choice or a decision, it's not you at all. It's your parents, your teachers, or the environment in your past that's making that decision. Yep. So if we choose, can we make decisions based on other factors? If we choose, can we make our world a positive one or a negative one just by the choice that we make?
Yes.
I like what Zig Ziglar said in one of his conferences. He says, I want you all to think real hard. Is there something that you can do, maybe 2 or 3 things, that'll absolutely, without question, in the next week, make your business worse?
Stay home. Yeah, don't talk to anybody.
Listen to Ed
Wheaton. But it's pretty easy to make a big list of things that'll make your business worse, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's just as easy to make a list than to do things that'll make your business better.
Yeah.
So if your business gets worse, it's simply a choice to buy into some previous programming that we've got. So now, as teachers, as new leaders of your downline groups, give me a strategy or two that you would help them to overcome rejection based on some of the things we just talked about.
One thing came to mind when you were saying
offering NECAN as a gift.
Okay, we're going to work on that a little bit in how to frame that gift. Debbie, go ahead.
One thing that came to my mind as you were sharing with us was from the Science Handbook for the Advanced Soul. One of the sayings in that handbook is that you are always free to change your future and your past. And people kind of gag when you say you're free to change your past, but you're always free to change your perception of the past, and therefore change it. So I think if you can help people learn how to do that, you can help them learn how to eliminate that fear of rejection.
Would that be a bigger gift than taking care of their anterior cruciate ligament?
I don't know what that is.
Or for their inverted duodenal sphincter?
Okay, sure. I know what a sphincter is. And an inverted duodenal sounds really bad. Really bad.
So can you imagine then that we keep getting off track so many times because we will see someone and we'll think that the greatest gift that we can provide for them is to take away the funny looking gimp they have when they walk.
You think that gimp makes them who they are?
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes it's important for them to lose it. Sometimes they consider that you're a real pain in the rear. I like what Dennis Williams said one time. He said, if I have a life preserver and I'm sitting on a city bus, and I keep offering the life preserver to you in the seat next to me, you're going to consider me an irritant. He said, in this case, Nikan is the life preserver. He said, my job is to flood the room. So by virtue of helping you discover that that wetness you're feeling up to your armpits is really that you're sitting in the lake, he's just trying to expose that your perception. Maybe you should try a new perception because there's a glorious new view out there or whatever that we can do if we can. Who else has an idea how we can put our mindset or help someone who is one of our new distributors frame the gift and reduce the possibility for rejection? Well, here's something else. Well, let's think about this for a second. Dave Johnson is the best of the best. The very first thing that he does with a brand new person, what do you think it is? It's the same thing he does the next morning and that afternoon and then at tea and then he does it again the next day. What is it that Dave's always asking somebody?
Are you excited?
That's true. He does that.
Do you know anyone that might benefit?
Yeah, he says, who's the most caring, compassionate, hardworking person you know?
Yeah.
Whose face comes to your mind?
Right.
And so what Dave is always doing is he's always assisting us to realize that we have a gift. Now let's get out there and give it. We've got to come to a realization with our new distributors almost like sometimes we have to pump them up. And let's try this for a second. Let me try Dean. Dean, who's the first name that comes to your mind about Nikan?
Dave Johnson.
I mean, that you would like to bring it up with. It's not in yet.
First name that comes to mind that I'd like to bring it up with.
You're a little echoey here, but the first person that you would love to bring up, Nikan, when I say that, your name or face pops in your mind.
First, I'd like to bring in the Bobby.
All right. Why?
Because he's ambitious, outgoing, great people person, in front of a lot of people all the time. He cares about people. And I think how hard working he is. He's basically in the same boat that we were in, and works a lot of hours, family split up. I think it would put that he's on and would like to help him.
Okay, all those things are. Yeah, you got a really weird phone. Are you doing a speakerphone?
Yes, we're both here.
Okay. When you go to talk, just pop it off speaker for a second because it's echoing back on you. But we're talking about Bobby, and you mentioned a number of things, and I'll just paraphrase these back to the gallery, that he's got a situation similar to yours. He's a hardworking guy. He's he's really focusing with it. And did you say something about his family having problems?
Well, yeah, they just don't get, you know, just like with a lot of... How do you take this off speaker?
Oh, you're okay now.
Okay it, now.
Go for it.
I'll just take close to it. Yeah, he just, you know, that's basically one of his concerns is the fact that, you know, him and his wife are split up in different directions a lot, and, you know, the kids are either at home or, you know, alone or in daycare or whatever, and, you know, I mean, it's just kind of the common issues that you hear a lot of people deal with, so.
Have you brought it up with him yet?
Oh, yeah. Actually, Dave and I went out and had a meeting with him. He's definitely going to do it. It's just kind of a timing issue because his wife, with their business, they're so involved with trying to do some stuff right now that she doesn't really want to participate, as you kind of hear with a lot of couples at times, just like when Melanie and I, Melanie got in, you know, I wasn't really ready to hear anything for you know, quite a period of time, because we've tried other network marketing companies and without success, and so we had vowed never to do it again, and you know, it's the same kind of going on with them where he sees the picture and the vision, and, you know, she just hasn't really opened up to it yet, so he will eventually be there with her.
Okay, now, we're going to be trying to change perception in her mind or his. And so you've already gone through several steps. And the initial recommendation I would make with a guy like him is to really just put your heart in the right position and say, here might be an approach. Bobby, I've always respected who you are and your work ethic. In fact, as I'm putting together this brand new consultantship, I'm looking for partners from the get-go. I have no idea if this would be for you, but I knew if I was going to war, I'd want you next to me. I'd like to have you review it, give you a chance to be the first one, because you're the first one that comes to my mind. Can you see how sometimes just playing it out that way and releasing the outcome removes the possibility for rejection?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and with him, I know that it's not a rejection. I mean, he was ready to sign up, but he is... He basically said without his wife on board, he just is not going to do it yet. He needs to have her with him for this particular endeavor. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, and you're going to get...
Issues.
You do want... Yeah. You absolutely do want to honor people when they say those things. There are some other pieces to how we can get across that. But, yeah, that's good, and I think... If you had not offered it as a gift, it would not have been perceived, and he wouldn't have let you and Dave come out. It would have been more perceived as something that would benefit you, but hey, buddy, why don't you buy a bet, and then I might have a few coins to put together, and maybe I can get what I want. And
well, I pretty worked on, you know, the next step, and actually tomorrow I'm calling him to get 3 to 4 names, and we're going to be working, and actually with talking with Dave, his ideas, you know, if we can get a few of them interested, then we can at that time talk to him and basically try to get everybody going.
Yep, that's a great point, that if they'll give you names and you can work underneath them and you come back and say, you know, I know you and your wife are praying on this and you're spending, you know, weekends, and you've got an upcoming trip to Europe, and during that time in the next 11 months, you want to discuss whether it's possible for you to come to one of these things. But, you know, that guy you introduced me to the other day, and then I went and talked to somebody else, and they led me to someone in California, so I called them, and they knew somebody in Colombia, and the person in Colombia wanted to get into Nikan. And so did the one in California, and then the one above them, and then the one above them. And I know you guys really want to work on this for the next 9 months, but I just had 4 people sign up. They've done about $3,000 worth of volume with another 2,000 coming in tomorrow, and I just wondered, just for protocol's sake, did you want to reintroduce this to your wife? And you see how it gives a different perception.
Exactly.
Because these guys are going to have to be sponsored by somebody, and certainly you guys can go ahead and sit on this, and I'll take them if that's what you would prefer, but that's called a sneaky trick. And motivate them by success. Well, I'm going to flip the
gears.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, because they start seeing the picture at that point, you know. Sometimes, you know, when, you know, depending on the circumstances, they think that, you know, things aren't going to go the way that they should go right off the bat. And like I said, he sees the vision, but she has been pretty close-minded to it, and I think if, you know, we can get something going like that, you know, she'll see the picture at that point.
Yep, I think you're probably right. And, but if she doesn't, it's her choice. She could completely come over to your house and put flaming bag good dog turds on your porch, and that's the way it goes. It's completely up to her on that choice. Here's a...
This week it said, some will, some won't, so what?
And it's so true. Because here's an interesting way to look at this. If we scrape together and all of you brought together 15 names and we put it on the table and there'd be 100 people there, what is the possible likelihood that out of those 100 people, five of them are praying for some change in their life? Would you all agree that that might be possible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're telling me that in America today, the land of prosperity, where everything is always cool, that almost 5% of the people would be dissatisfied with the direction of their life that day?
95%.
Yeah, we could probably stretch it, couldn't we?
Yeah.
I'd say there's a lot higher percentage that aren't happy with their circumstances as opposed to who are, so...
Yeah, so that makes a pretty good pool, but here's the point. Let's say we all ran out and asked that 100 people as fast as we could during that afternoon. We're really trying to put together a group of people to accomplish something that's just a blast. We want to get this thing done. How's your timing? Are you looking for something maybe to do on the side that could really be a big hit in the long run? Can you all imagine that on any given day, out of those 100 people, you might find 10 or 15 of them that might have some really, yeah, sure, I'll take a look. Something that sounds interesting. Can you imagine that on the next day it might be a different 15?
Yeah, I think circumstances change every day, Jerry.
And then 2 weeks later it might be a different 15? So if we were to square out, ask people, hey, I'm trying to put something together. It's really a gas, and I really respect who you are. This is like the next Sony or Toyota coming to North America, and I'm starting up a consultantship with this major corporation, and I'm actually looking for partners. You seem, by virtue of some of the things I know about you, to be a pretty good possibility. I don't know. In fact, I don't know if you're going to fit the whole bill, but I'd love to have you take a look at it. If we were actually to frame those kinds of words, it's fairly likely that those people would look at it. But I'd like to do another thing here and then remind us all not to bruise the fruit. If somebody's green today, they might be ripe tomorrow. There's a great story about this thing called timing that was presented by a guy named Big Al. And Big Al is one of the old-time network marketing trainers, and he's really good at what he does. And his story goes like this. He said, if you call me in the morning and I'm just kind of stumbling out of bed, or you wake me up and you say, hey, Al, you want to come over tonight and talk about how to make some money? Click. I haven't even gotten a chance to brush my teeth yet. So I kind of bop downstairs and finally sit down, I open up the newspaper, and lo and behold, right there on the front page, the bank that I'm working for is closing. Oh my goodness, that is horrible news. So I get a phone call from you then. hey, you want to come over tonight? It's the funniest thing. I just got introduced, and I got something that could be a really big gold mine, and I'm all over it. Well, then he says about 25 minutes later, I'm driving to work. It's raining like crazy. I'm not paying attention because I'm thinking about losing my job, and I smash into somebody's car. But I get a phone call from you. Say, hey, you want to come over tonight and look at something to make some more money? Shut up and die. I just smashed my car, and it's my own fault. So I'm sloshing to work. Finally get there. The boss comes in and says, hey, did you read the paper this morning? And I say, yeah, it really sucks. He says, well, I got good news and bad news for you. He said, the good news is that I get to keep my job. The bad news is yours is gone, and it's gone. You got to be out of here by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Well, if you call me at that time, boy, I'm all over listening to your opportunity. So some person's timing can change 3 times in an hour, maybe 4 times in an hour. So we don't want to beat ourselves up based on the timing or not the timing. We just need to ask. Y'all get the point?
Yep.
But we don't know the timing unless we ask, and that's going to be the most critical thing you do this week is go out and begin to ask people, what about their timing? Now, I want to give you a shortcut, because most of you, in the timing that you're going to do, in the timing question, if you ask the timing question, what do you think about the possibility of you getting colon cancer before you're 76 years old? Can you see how it might take a while for them to get the whole picture of Nikan?
Yeah.
Or you say, hey, I was learning something on a tape that I was listening to the other day, and it said that if you were to consume foods that have a lot of oxidized stuff in them, that over the course of time, you'd be 3 times more likely to end up with some kind of a heinous disease. Do you want to do something to buy a company with me? Can you see how there's sort of a disconnect there? If you ask the questions, on the other hand, sometimes the questions are more, but you can ask any question you want to. One of the questions is, hey, I was just listening to a meeting the other night, and they asked me a crazy question. We've been working at this job forever, you and I, and they said, if you want to know whether it's time to change your life or not, think about people who are at your job who've been there 5 years longer than you have. And if that's where you're going to be 5 years from now, is it really going to be satisfying? Is it something that you really want? You can ask your person that you're working with. I know what my answer was, what would you say? And they go, heck no. I don't want to be like Wally over there. Guy's just turned into a mushroom. He just sits on a chair. Probably smells like he's sitting in horse manure. I don't want to be like that. Well, that could open up to other things. Another way to put that would be, let's say I called up and said, hey, Brad, I got a meeting going on at my house on Thursday night. My wife and I just were so excited because we've got a brand new opportunity that we're being involved with. We'd love to have you come over. You're going to go, you know what? I got to soak my comb on that night. I can't get there.
Well, you got to offer food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, offer food. Or you can say to Brad, hey, Brad, you know, the other day you were telling every time you got home, you know, you had these little chores and stuff you had to do, but it was kind of getting boring, and I'm just sitting around here wondering, did you figure out something cool we might do together? No, my life still sucks. It's still totally boring. I never got anything to do. Great, be over here on Thursday night. So the way you set it up, let them kind of walk into it. Let's see how we do this next week. All right, let's go through and check out your reading and your listening. Brad?
Yeah.
What was your favorite between the book and the CD?
The CD I had listened to a couple times last summer, but it was amazing how much I forgot from last summer. But I think I like the book more. I mean, I kept reading because, well, I just kept reading.
What are, oh, you did. You got ahead of us. What were some of the points that came up that you remember?
Well, I liked, let's see, the part where it talked about the three rules in network marketing.
Uh-huh.
That would have been, you know the business you're in, understand the rules, and get better at the game. So I like that. And, you know, and I also like the part where it talked about, talk to the top 25 successful leaders in your business. And he said, ask them these questions. And basically then he said, oh, this is what I've done. He said, you know, they got it. You know, and so that hit me quite hard because, you know, it's like, hey, you just can't, I mean, you really can't talk somebody into it. They have to see it. They have to get it. And, you know, those that are going to be business builders right away, and if you show them the product and mention the business, I think, man, those people that see that, they get it right away.
Great. There was a presentation I heard from a gal named Trish Winkler. She's pretty amazing. And did you all get that little CD from Dave with Trish?
Yeah, I loved it. I love Trish.
And do you remember how she was talking about another Royal Diamond that she was talking with, and he likes to do a presentation, and they used three books for the presentation. They had National Geographic on the subject that had all the rot that's in our systems now. They had the Wellness Home or Healthier You magazine, and then the Nikan, I think it was probably the catalog.
Success from Home.
Oh, Success from Home. And what she did was just to go through and say, I want to show you a company, and this is a major Japanese company that's coming to North America, and we're just considering partnering up with this. So let's go through a few of these points. Can you see that puts a person in a different mindset than if you're begging them to join a network marketing opportunity?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very different.
Take it away from them. See if they qualify to do the job.
It's kind of fun, actually, that way. Okay, Steve, what were some of the things that you liked about, let's say, the CD or the book?
I love Jim Rohn's CD. It's just so simple and so true.
Would you like to be more like Jim Rohn than you are today?
Definitely.
What are some of the things, couple things that you like about Jim Rohn?
One of the things that I noticed tremendously is his inflections. And he makes you, you know, when you're listening to him, it's interesting to listen to him. My wife says I do the same up and down thing that puts everybody to sleep. But, you know, he just has this wonderful way of saying things, and it just feels right. He just makes it feel right.
So wouldn't you imagine that if you listen to him enough, you could start to mimic some of those things?
That's why I listened to the CD about 5 or 6 times this week.
So Dave Johnson often been fond of saying that where we are 5 years from now will be the composite of who you listen to, what you read, and the people you hang around. And he also said that your income will average that of the 5 people you hang around the most. And these are choices of what we can do or say. There are people we can hang around. If y'all were hanging around with broke drunks all day long, and that's all you ever hung around with, do you think it would affect your mindset?
Yeah, you'd be a broke drunk.
And if you were hanging around people like Jim Rohn all the time, would you be more hopeful about your future?
Definitely.
Would you imagine that you could maybe create a better quality future for you and your family? So that's a choice we get to do, and that's what Pathfinder is going to try to force us to do, is to make sure we're listening and reading on a daily basis for a little while. Melanie, which one struck you out of those two? The tape or the book?
Well, I'm a little confused on whether you're talking about the Fishers of Men tape or the Jim Rohn Building Your Network Marketing Business.
Well, okay, because you guys had to do two to catch up. So you get to choose whichever one you want to talk about.
I really enjoyed listening to the Fishers of Men and tied in really well with that listening for success. Because...
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening for what kind of bait to throw them, then you'll know how to catch the fish.
Mm-hmm. And so now you're looking at when you think about the gift that you could provide for somebody in their affiliation. Can you see how their lives would be richer for having read and listened to some of the things you've read and listened to?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because, you know what gift they need.
So now as you get an understanding of a more and more rich experience with Nikan, and have you been to Humans Being More training yet?
No, not yet.
Wait till you hit that puppy, and it's coming up in... Into June,
in July.
Yeah, into July. What you'll find is that the things that we really want to give we become more and more aware of through these experiences that we're allowed to go through and share with. Dean, what was your favorite out of those four or three things?
It was also the Fishers of Men. I just found that the whole CD was just completely, about listening to what people are, what people are wanting, what they don't have, and not just, basically blasting them. Was it Jim that said, I don't know which CD it was, we're listening actually to a lot of CDs, but... there was a comment made, have you ever tried to give somebody basically a drink out of a fire hydrant, You don't want to just blast people with information, and that's what this basically tells you is, you need to get prepared when you leave for the day. You need to, when you go fishing, you don't just go out and, not bring a pole, not bring different types of bait. And that's really the way that you need to think when you go out, is that you're not just going to expect the fish just to, jump into your frying pan, or jump at you to be filleted. You need to, be patient, because that's, in fishing, you have to be patient. So, that's really what it's all about, and it's also like you said in there too. You're not gonna catch all the fish in the lake. When you go out, you're gonna fish, and you're gonna and you're always hoping you're gonna catch the big one. But that's the mindset that you have to keep when you're out fishing, is that you are catching the big. If you keep doing that stuff and you stay prepared and you actually fish, you'll actually, some days you may not get anything, and other days you'll come home with abundance. And that's really what I like a lot about that particular CD.
All right, great. Well, I'm looking forward to all of you coming up with abundance this next time around. And so we're going to go the next three chapters in our book. And that would be, I think, chapters 9 through 12, and that's in Building Your Business One Story at a Time by Michael Clough. And then we're going to be listening to the Dennis Williams CD called Simply Speaking. And that'll be your homework for the next week. And with that being said, we do have a couple seconds left over. Debbie, what were some of your favorites off of the CDs or the listening or the reading?
You know, Jerry, I listen to Jim Rohn in my car constantly, and I found myself the other day saying, don't sign up for that class. Don't sign up for that class. So I got to think that Jim Rohn's probably my favorite. And in the book, I think the three rules are really incredible, and they're really easy if you just listen to the three rules. Know the business, because any business that we're in, if we're no good at unless we know it. And understand the rules. Some will, some won't, so what? And it's okay. That so what may be okay tomorrow. Some will, some won't. Still a couple days down the line. And just get better at the game. And just play the game. And the game is make more of yourself. If you worry about yourself and making more of yourself, the others will come along with you.
Well, we've got a little bit of a unique situation with Debbie, and that is that you've got a couple of your own people on this call.
Yes.
As you look at this thing called NECAN and the whole life experience that is NECAN, and you watch other people go through it, is that a different perspective than you had when you first saw NECAN?
Oh, absolutely, Jerry. You know, these people are my friends, and I consider them my family. And to see them take this and do what they want with it and experience it is just almost overwhelming for me.
So when we come back around to describe the gift, it's becoming richer and richer to you as other people get a chance to experience it, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So if we could take away one big thing from this lesson today, it's that idea of framing the gift and understanding what it truly is. So I'm going to add another little thought for next week's class. I want you to come back with some ideas that are really truly the richest gems that you think you can offer to somebody else through your affiliation. Just jot down some ideas so we can share those, because I have an idea of how to use those. Let's say the question again. As you go through your week, start imagining things that are the richest gems that you think you can provide to somebody by being affiliated with NECAN. What do you think are the greatest pieces that they can gain from it? Okay, you all good?
Yeah.
Hey, Jerry.
I have one last thing. I guess I'm becoming more and more aware of, you know, health and all of the things that are going on. And it's funny, if you're really looking for it, it's like I get Money Magazine each month, and they have a huge article on there about health and, you know, where the health system's going in the United States and all that. And they have one article in there. It's funny how there are so many different magazines, but they said, what is one of the biggest and what's the best, one of the best investments you can make? And they said health. You know, if you really think about it, if you don't invest in your health, then you can't, you're not going to be able to make any money. So I just thought it was interesting that, you know, even like Money Magazine, they say one of the best investments you can make is in your health.
Would you make sure that you take that piece and pull it out, stick it in a page protector, highlight it, and use it in your presentations and read it directly from the magazine?
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was in part doing the quarterly event down in Yakima in the middle of the week instead of on a Saturday. And I just simply walked out to the hotel desk and pulled the USA Today from the hotel desk and went back into the room. And on the front page were three major things that we do in NECAN. Three major parts of the market. One of them was the cost of health care for employees. Another one was some huge discovery of how we were hospital mistakes or something like that. But there were three things that related absolutely directly, and I bet you almost every day the front page of USA Today will have something, just like you mentioned, where Money Magazine, everywhere you look, it's pretty avoidable. I mean, it's pretty unavoidable. This thing is going to crash into people in a big way from every possible angle. So we might as well choose to get on it and be some of the leaders and some of the first. Well,
yeah.
Thank you all. Let's move on into next week. At the end of next week, we'll be appointing teams for you, but we're going to also take a look at getting your statistics out and looking at what you did for the month.
Jerry?
And now we'll switch gears and move to our
Jerry?
Team month ahead of you.
Thanks,
here on the West Coast.
Thanks,
good night.
Jerry.
Thanks,
Jerry.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks, Jerry.